Hey, what's up, everyone? I hope you're having a great morning, evening, or night. I am your host, FFV, and today I bring you guys some amazing people doing some pretty amazing things. Today, I am joined with Gene and Andrew. Sorry, guys, I had a fucking brain fart right there.
All good. All good.
Today we'll be talking about them, Apewater, and everything they're doing in the Web3 space. Hey, well, welcome, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing
Doing
great.
great. Yeah, thanks for having us. And I don't know if we go by Gene or we go by Nichols. What's the call out over
Yeah,
there?
what is the call out? What is the call out?
Maybe it's gene.eth or I don't know.
Gene.eth.
It's I've got a branding problem. I've got a branding issue.
Hey man,
Can figure it out.
I've rebranded a couple of times. Dude, my first one was FFVV1211 and then FFV or FFVV and then just FFV.
Sure. That's funny.
Yeah,
Well,
but
if there's anything we've learned, Web3 is an evolving space, an accelerated tempo.
On this show, man, we get a little personal, so please, I would love to hear about your guys's how you guys grew up, what type of person you are, and then just getting into your background, what have you guys done up to this point? Yeah, you go
Yeah,
ahead.
Andrew, you want to go first?
Sorry, yeah.
I mean, I don't even. I'll give you the abbreviated version, but I'm born and raised in Los Angeles, and growing up, I was obsessed with music, and I had to figure out a way to get music before everybody else. And that was, hold on, send the voicemail. We're still good?
Yeah, we're still good.
Sorry, apologize for that interruption.
Oh, you're good.
I wanted to figure out how to get free music, and so the best way to get music ahead of everyone was to become a radio DJ. And
Oh.
so I was I went to the University of Arizona for college. I first got on the college radio station, then I got on the commercial radio station there, which was a rhythmic station, which is equivalent to Power 106 in LA or Hot 97 New York. This was Hot 98.3, a Clear Channel station, and I came into a small town with a big city mindset, and I essentially overnight, just by imitating big LA radio, I developed a following, and I had the number one ratings in the city. And so very quickly, within
Damn.
about 2 years, I was one of the top 100 radio DJs in the US in terms of influence.
Jesus.
And so I'm like 19, 20 years old, and that leads to me DJing for some of the biggest gold and platinum recording artists, going on tour with big acts. That led to me being a resident DJ all across the country, Vegas, New York, Miami, LA, everywhere in between, doing 300 shows a year. I was on television, DJing on a television show on NBC as the house band, on a record label, on a nightclub. I mean, had a hospitality company, had a DJ booking agency. I mean, everything entertainment music related.
Damn.
And among other things, tech startups, all that kind of stuff. And so a serial entrepreneur. And when I saw Bitcoin and Ethereum, I was dismissive. I remember having a chat with friends when Bitcoin was 300 and Ethereum
Oh
was
my gosh.
$12.
Ooh.
And we were like, yeah, we missed the boat. We were like so sure. We thought it maybe 150 Bitcoin we could get in, but 300 was really overpriced. Just to kind of date myself. So I was humbled over and over again by Web3. And then when CryptoPunks came out and they were at 40K, I was like, yeah, I get it. They're the first. That's it. And then Bored Ape Yacht Club started to moon. And this was around the time Punks hit a million. And I was like, wait a minute, something is happening that I'm not respecting. And I became obsessed with the idea that you could commercialize the rights of your likeness of your PFP if you had it. And through that obsession, among other things, kind of led to the idea of creating the water of Web3 or the beverage of Web3.
Oh, yeah.
And so me and my co-founder, Itai, we trademarked the word ape for beverage non-alc January 2022, and water was born.
Wow. No, that's insane, man. Love your background. That's fucking insane. I didn't know any about that. And I'm glad I asked, man, because serial entrepreneur is understatement for you, man. That's insane. That's a big resume right there, man. What about you, Gene? How about yourself?
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a pretty tough act to follow. I'll do my best. So I was actually born in the Philippines. So shout out to the Baykata group out there, Filipino apes. And then my family moved to the U.S. when I was 2, and have grown up here ever since. I went to undergrad at Berkeley doing business, and then came back down to LA, did some more work, and then went to the East Coast in Boston for business school at MIT, and then again came back to LA just because that's where where my family's from, my wife's family's from, and so sort of made that trek back here. And I guess how I got into even before MTs, in 2012, when I came back from Boston, I started working for a company called The Wonderful Company, in their corporate strategy group. And you probably don't know about Wonderful Company, but what they do is they own a bunch of brands. So Fiji Water, Palm Wonderful, Wonderful Pistachios and Almonds, Wonderful Citrus, Justin Wines, a bunch of like CPG brands that you guys all know and love, right? And so I worked in their strategy group for about 3.5 years, from like 2012 to 2015, and then have since been working with one of the other portfolio companies more full time as a GM of one of their business units. And then during the pandemic, I was playing a lot of video games because we had to be at home. And that's kind of how I found out about all this stuff. So one of the buddies was like, "Hey, have you guys heard about this thing called NBA Top Shot?" And I was like, "Oh, what's that?" You know, he was like, "Oh yeah, it's just basketball cards, but digital." And so, I mean, I collected cardboard as a kid and, you know, loved basketball, and, you know, I could kind of piece it together. The idea of like owning something digital. And that's when it like all clicked for me. And that's when I got comfortable with the idea of Ethereum and like other blockchains and what that can do and what that can provide in terms of like asset ownership and whatnot. And that's pretty much how I got into NFTs. I got into NFTs before I got into crypto, really. Yeah. And really only getting into crypto as a means to get into NFTs. So that's kind of my story.
Go ahead.
I was saying, Gene, you left off your stint at Chippendales.
Well, hey, that, I don't want to drop too much stuff, but that's actually not true. That's not true.
Oh, man, I'm disappointed. I'm kidding. But, man, dude, that's actually how I started as well, man. I didn't know. I knew about crypto. I knew about ETH, Bitcoin, and stuff like that, Doge, whatever. But I never really hopped into it until NFTs. You know, I understand. The thing was with me, I tried to get into, you know, regular stocks, ETH, crypto and stuff like that. But I guess it was just more of the part that I had no fun. You know, I didn't have any friends to hang out with in that kind of groups and stuff like that. And I thought NFTs was a great way to show me about crypto and really learn about new things, man. But yeah, I had the similar start. I want to ask both of you guys this. Yeah. What about NFTs made you guys want to stay in this space? Because, you know, we're in a bear market, we're going through tough shit. What about NFTs and Web3 made you guys stay?
I can start. For me, I feel like when apes first came out, you know, and Cool Cats and Gutter Cats and all that stuff, it was a very different time, right? It was sort of like, it wasn't even like a bull market per se, like when that first started. Yeah. I think you could argue that it was like peak Top Shot, and then Top Shot was like sort of already on its way down. And then Apes came out, and it was just kind of like, you know, going horizontal. But then there was at some point where we did hit this sort of like Ethereum NFT bull market, and anything you minted just would reveal, like it would pump pre-reveal. Oh, yeah. And you could flip it for whatever, and then it would dip post-reveal, and it was just like clockwork. And it became a game of like just getting on a whitelist and minting these, you know, these new collections that were coming out. And over time, though, that got like really boring. And for me, it was, I switched my whole thought to like, okay, I've got some NFTs now. I've got like this bag of stuff. Like, what can I actually do with them? And so I started thinking about like licensing and what you could do with that, and sort of building like revenue streams from owning NFTs, right? So the idea would be never to sell your ape, and hopefully be able to profit off of it so that you would never have to do that, right? And so that's kind of been my focus, like in terms of the projects that I would get involved in. And I think what's and that's what's sort of keeping me here, because it's not just about like flipping NFTs anymore. It's about now building brands and actually entering like the Web2 arena with Apewater and all the stuff out there, because I think that's going to be where the future of a lot of this stuff goes, like having that sort of tie, Web2 to Web3 tie, and sort of getting out there in the real world. So that's why I'm still here, at least.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, sure. For me, I hate the word NFT
Oh yeah.
because it's
A lot of
technical.
people
Just
do.
like I don't describe this the so a lot of the language is going to change over time, just how I don't describe a song as an MP3,
Yeah.
right? And so what I like about the idea of the technology of NFTs is to have a digital locker, right? And the implications of a digital locker that is, decentralized is very appealing in terms of utility, because eventually everything will have a provenance in the form of an NFT, whether it's a car, whether it's a watch, whether it's a piece of art, whether it's your medical records, and will transact via unlocking NFTs and giving permissions to people who we want to allow to, have access to that NFT. We'll probably have an NFT as a birth certificate in our lifetime. So I've always romanticized what the promises of NFTs are supposed to be. And also the initial hype cycle, if we want to call it that, was due to a one-time spike where NFTs hijacked social media,
Oh, yeah.
where all of a sudden everyone's default profile became an NFT. So it's very hip hop. And I'm a hip hop guy. Like that's that like it's about taking something and flipping it and leveraging it. And that's what we're doing with Apewater. By taking the IP of BAYC, we're kind of like sampling it, like how Daft Punk would sample a disco record, right? Or how
Oh, yeah.
Kanye West will sample like a hip hop song. And so for me, we have that hip hop energy or like dance energy. And so that's something that I really, really enjoy. Now, you alluded to the idea that we're kind of like in a bear market. I don't like that language either, because what we are is in a, I'd rather be more crass and say we're in a bullshit cycle or like a clown cycle. We're just exposed that the market isn't a market of community right now. The only people left are flippers trying to attract new fish so they can get better positions to have liquid exits, right? And to me, at this point, they've squeezed the market to and have kind of exploited it to where now all of a sudden they're trying to shill each other. And so I'm looking forward to the flipper culture to just disappear, because flipping culture and community is not community, it's exploiting community. So the people exploiting the idea of community, are atrophying right now, and we call it a bear cycle. No, it's just you guys been exposed for who you are. And the promise that I see, like the more altruistic outlook I have, is Apewater is this vessel for IRL ways for us all to gather on a common ground. We're all futurists. We all see the future implications of Web3, and we are the beverage of choice for a community. And so really, Apewater is designed to be an extension to really cultivate real community and not speculators who are trying to like have a digital asset that they want to, wash, trade, or do whatever to try and secure a bag. Like that's the furthest of my thoughts when it comes to community, is how to profit and exploit a community. So how do we actually grow authentic community of like-minded individuals? And then through the collective consciousness, we can do some fun stuff together. But it's not about, when I listen to these, I guess, Twitter spaces, which has kind of become like the water cooler for Web3,
Yeah.
I feel like I'm listening to like a bunch of te technical analysis from like some Goldman Sachs, like, employees. It just doesn't sound like community. It sounds like people just all trying to make a buck. And
Oh yeah.
I'm looking forward to those people slowly disappearing and real community forming. And you see that.
Oh
And
yeah.
we do see
That's
that. And we see
100%.
that. And I look forward to that shift. And that's what's keeping me in it. And my long-winded response is I look forward to real community staying the test of time through the commonality of Web3 that joins us all together.
Well, yeah, that was a beautiful answer. I go ahead, Gino. You're about to say something?
No, I would say, I mean, I'm not going to push back because I think there's a lot of that out there still, like in terms of like the meme coins and all of the random stuff that's happening, people sending money to like wallets without anything
Was
in promise in
horrible.
return. I think there's a lot of that, and but I think what that shows is that those folks are still out there in terms of like the people that are setting up those coins and wallets and whatnot. But I think the other thing that says though is that there's a lot of perhaps liquidity on the sidelines just begging for something to put my ETH into, in a sense. And it's just like it's like a mixture of those two things together and the absence of like something else that's interesting on the NFT side of things, because people I think are still sort of scared. Although I have seen recently, like I just feel like there's a little bit more activity on that side. Like I'm starting to get like some higher WEETH offers. Like I'm starting to get some sales now, and just like it's very little, but it's just like it just feels like we're like at like an inflection point of perhaps something changing. And so it for
I
me
agree.
it's kind of like a bullish signal too. Like there's all this money out there that's looking for a place, desperate to find a place, a home, and now you're starting to see some of those like profits actually now start rotating into NFTs, which is super interesting as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm glad I have you guys here because it's a very big difference, and I'm glad you said this, man. The big differential between a bear market and a bullshit market. I don't know. I think that's probably the best way to put that. I've never experienced cycles and stuff, so this is my first time. So when I see this, I'm assuming it's a bear market. People are just grifting out there and just taking whatever penny that they can get. And I'm thinking to myself, like, man, dude, like, I would not bring a single person outside of NFTs into this space right now. I'm glad that there's people out there, still looking forward to the future. You know what I mean? And I gotta completely agree on the people having ETH on the side, ready to just put it into something that they believe in and truly love. I've talked to me with many people. Obviously, I bet we're all in different group chats and stuff like that. But there's a lot of us, man. They're just like just sitting in our hands, not wanting to participate. We're obviously showing up, but we're not buying actively. To be honest, I'm the same way. I haven't bought an NFT in a while because there's just a lot of bullshit out there, dude. Nothing excites me like
Yeah.
it used to. You know what I mean?
And I'd even just say to add to that, we launched an NFT, which was basically a water subscription, which the utility was backed against physical water of greater value than the NFT. And we've even struggled, I think, to even fully communicate that effectively to where people don't think it's necessarily like another scam. Like it was, we actually have physical goods attached to it. And because of how speculative a lot of projects have been, it kind of has cast a cloud over the entire marketplace as a whole, to even where it can be challenging to communicate a product that actually has like a fair value exchange for its community holders.
It's the trust, man. It's really the trust. I just, yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, thank you guys for bringing that up. I think that was a great way to really showcase what's going on recently and things that we're looking forward to. But last question, and then we're gonna jump right into Ape Water. And this should be, a real quick one or a long one might be. But when you explain to your friends and family what Web3 or an NFT is, what do you tell them?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier, but I guess I'll refine it, is an NFT I describe as a digital locker, that there's a digital ledger, blockchain, and the digital ledger verifies who can open that locker and when. And in that locker can have anything. And in that locker, for example, can be a picture of a BAYC that has all of these various other attributes are in the metadata of how it can be used. It can unlock access to a club, an experience. It can be proof of receipt. And really, it's the digital locker is only limited to the imagination. And when I describe it that way to someone who is not fully, understanding of what Web3 is, that tends to land relatively well.
Yeah, and for me, I really just explain it as a digital asset, right? It's just owning a digital asset. And it's I agree with Andrew that the word NFT is like almost canceled, right, at this point. Because you know, Punk 6529 said it a long time ago that NFTs have a branding problem. Like, they shouldn't be called NFTs because, one, it's just confusing. Like, you have to think, oh, what's fungible? Okay, then what's non-fungible? Blah, blah, blah. And it technically anything is an NFT. Like, my phone's an NFT. That's dollar bill's an NFT too. Like, everything's unique, right? But at the end of the day, it's not about the tech, like what Andrew was referring to earlier. It's not an MP3, it's a song. And it's you don't go on to an HTML site, it's you just go on to the internet or whatever. You know what I mean? You kind of have to refer to it in terms of like what it does, like what the functionality is versus the technology behind it, because that's less important. At the end of the day, people don't really care about the technology behind it, right? Especially when you start thinking about mass. But so the way, yeah, I really explain it is just it's a digital asset, or it could be a digital collectible, and it could be anything just in digital form. And the way instead of the traditional methods of verifying ownership, like, you know, a deed or a pink slip or whatever, it's blockchain. We use the blockchain instead of those like antiquated systems. So that's how I would think.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. That you were you about to say something, my man?
Well, yeah, I mean, I also just use analogies that are quite helpful too. Like I refer to what blockchain is in terms of the seismic leap it's offering society at large is the equivalent to the printing press. Because before, let's say Nichols or Gene transact one to one, I have a ledger that I keep that's my records. He has a ledger that keeps his records, but those could be compromised, right? But when there was a printing press, then we could make infinite copies. But even then, it's still physical, right? So now to have this third ledger that is trusted by the community with cryptography, it just completely changes the fundamentals of how parties transact and how trust is formed. So it's just really such a seismic leap that it's going to really transform everything, and already has started the
Oh
process.
yeah, I completely agree. And yeah, man, I just think about the future a lot and what NFTs could do. You know, I tweeted something. You know, I'm bullish on NFT technology and blockchain. Just not really. I'm just bearish on the participants. But let's move on. Ape Water. Let's dive in. Take me back to day zero. How did you guys come up with the idea, and why did you guys think this is an important addition to Web3?
Yeah. So I view Web3 as culture and as broadly as I view sports as culture. There's teams, there's different types of games. And what's the beverage of sports? If the first thing
Gatorade.
comes to mind,
Oh, Gary, yeah.
Gatorade. Do you know the history behind Gatorade, how it started?
No.
So there's a football program at the University of Florida, which is in Gainesville, the Florida Gators. And in the 60s, one of the, I guess, professors noticed the football team was, you know, not coming out the second half when actually they were winded at the second, at coming out of the half. And he had the idea of putting electrolytes in the water to give the Gators aid, hence Gatorade.
Damn.
Oh.
Yeah, seriously. Damn.
So, you know, if I was to go to UCLA Bruin or a Kentucky Wildcat and say drink University of Florida Gator Aid, they might say a University of, you know, Kentucky Wildcat. A Wildcat will never drink Gatorade, or a Bruin will never drink Gatorade. But today, Gatorade just means excellence in sports. Or if I say, what is the beverage of extreme sports? What's the answer there?
I
First
can't
one
tell
that
you.
comes to mind.
I can't tell you. I'm not gonna.
I already know the answer. It's Red Bull, right?
I was literally gonna say fucking Red Bull, but I was too ashamed to say it. I was like, is it Red Bull? Is it Red Bull?
Well, think about like Red Bull. If I was talking to you about Red Bulls in the 80s, you might equate it to Spanish bullfighting, right? But today, Red Bull addressed a market Gatorade wasn't, which was extreme sports. Like, Gatorade never thought skateboarding or snowboarding was the equivalent of the NBA or the Olympics. So they just ignored it. It was an underserved market that had real culture. I love Web3. It's culture as fuck. Like, it just, as you said, it's having a shakeup, and the next 100 million Americans haven't even been onboarded yet. That's one of Ape Water's his mission. And so for us, we really saw with the success of Bored Ape Yacht Club the value of the word ape. I don't think Bored Ape Yacht Club would have been as successful if it was Bored Zebra Club or Bored Beaver Club or Bored whatever club. But aping in is a word. It's a verb. It means taking like a leap of faith into the future, basically. And so for me, when I saw Bored Ape success, I was like, oh, ape, it's another one of those. Like Planet of the Apes, Bathing Ape, there's Donkey Kong, there's King Kong, there's all these different ape IP that's happened throughout the years. And we all love apes. Depending on what you believe, we evolved from apes, or there's the stone ape theory, which is a fun one, which is an ape ate the mushroom, and that's how we had cave drawings. And
I'm a subscriber to that,
I
but
want
keep going.
yeah. I didn't think I was going to be in water. The water opportunity kind of found me. Much longer story. That would have to be a longer podcast. And I knew I wanted to be in the water space, and I saw this opportunity because I don't drink. I saw this kind of movement in culture where non-alc was going
That
to become.
surprises me, man, because your background, you used to own a club, you used to be a lot of into music and stuff. Were you drinking back then, or just recently stopped?
I never was into drinking, but there's a ton of photos of me around on the internet of me having 15,000 bottles of champagne. I'm going, taking it to the face. But that was just me playing to the cameras. Alcohol's always been a lower vibration for me. I'm already up here, like in terms of how I feel. I just get sick when I drink alcohol. Like, it doesn't lower my inhibitions. I already have very little inhibitions, and I already feel whatever people are deriving from alcohol. I get the positive attributes. I feel like I'm already there. So it's always a net negative for me. And just so I saw the trend, I also saw how people feel shamed drinking plastic water. I don't believe in tap water. I've been always very particular about my water source. No American should be drinking tap water, period, end of story, hard stop. And that's because you can't get the fluoride out of it. There was a study at Stanford that showed a full deviation in IQ point by drinking fluoride, like objectively true. And that's just the fluoride component, not to mention the microplastics as well, which is a whole other thing. So, there were just all these things where I was just following the breadcrumbs, where I developed a really core passion for water. And then also a water should be celebrated, and it's not. And I just felt like product market fit. And then I was also really inspired by seeing the success of Liquid Death, which is more of a Metallica slash like Megadeth, like more hard rock. So I view them as a genre of music, as a music guy. And, people have different tastes in music. And so it was a combination of different things and different ingredients that said to me, I see the value of the word ape. I see it being a next huge cultural movement. It felt like other cultural moments I've witnessed throughout my life, be it like hip hop or just other emerging trends. And I was like, wow, like this really speaks to me, and it was true to core. So I just built something that I thought was super lit and super fun with my partners. And it just feels really good. Like it's the forever game, right? Like it's not a hustle. It's not a flip for me. It's something where we really want to protect water rights. We want to securitize water on the blockchain. I mean, we are leading with a fun CPG product, and propagating what it means to be an ape. And just for me, if it's, I'll be crass here, if it's not a fuck yeah, it's a fuck no. And this is all just a bunch of fuck yeah for me. Like every single way I tried to attack this opportunity, it just got stronger with every attack that I gave it. So it just, I've definitely felt this gravity through my own existential angst and kind of spiritual awakening of sorts, that this was my real calling, not like the hedonism of me DJing every single night in like a bottle service driven nightclub where my job was to upsell alcohol.
Damn. That's pretty crazy, man. That's a pretty great explanation. I didn't think that That when I first saw the first or the eight beverage, I didn't think it was water at all at first. You know what I mean? Because when I first read it, it said eight beverage, so I thought it was like an alcohol or something like that. Right when I saw it was water, I was like, dude, this could be fucking huge because it could be everywhere. You know what I mean? The store or whatever, whatever. But yeah, thank you for the explanation. What about you, Gene? How did you get in contact with Andrew, and how did you guys click? How did you guys connect? And what about him made you think this was a great idea to be involved with?
I guess my first experience with ape water, there's another ape by the name of Shoke, who's also an LA ape. He had invited me to a dinner with the ape water team with Andrew and Itai and then a bunch of other apes that were also there, to become an investor in the business, because one of the cool things I thought Andrew and Itai did was they reserved a certain percentage of their actual equity, like their cap table, or apes to participate,
Damn, that's badass.
which is amazing. Like it's an opportunity I've never had, obviously, and just by being an ape, I have access now. And so I thought, obviously, that was cool as hell. So I was almost in immediately. And then just seeing the can itself, I was like, whoa, what is this? Like there's an
Exactly.
ape on a can, like the branding looks great. And like when you see the can, like the magic window, as I call it, you can imagine like so many other different things. And the first thing you imagine is like, oh, like maybe I can get my ape on there. Like that's what kind of it drew me initially to the brand. And then at the dinner, we got to talk with Andrew, obviously, and we actually had a lot of mutual friends. And then talking with Itai, who's more like, I guess, the operations logistics side of things. I had a background doing that. Remember when I was doing corporate strategy and even in my current role, doing a bunch of like operations, supply chain stuff, like marketing, branding, all of that stuff. And then working with Fiji Water and Palm Wonderful, like all again, beverage CPG brands that are, distributed worldwide. Like that all just made sense, and I was able to click with them just because we spoke the same language in a way. And so I became an investor that night, but then I also we talked about coming on, as a as more of like a deeper role, more as an advisor as well. So that was, I believe, August. So it's like almost a year now that I've been, investing and advising with Ape Water.
Damn,
Yeah,
that's awesome.
we were concerned that we might be rejected by the ape community because we decided to be ape agnostic. We, as a company, don't own any apes. We license apes from community leaders. And ultimately, we want to be ape agnostic to where we put all types of Web3 IP on our can. So we're kind of like the Wheaties box of Web3. You know, Wheaties will put Michael Jordan, or will put Michael Phelps, or the next Olympic athlete who represents excellence, right? You eat your Wheaties, you too can be an Olympic athlete. And so we see a similar opportunity at Ape Water, and we just wanted to showcase, shout out to Shoke, by the way, who was it's an OG ape. And we said, hey, can you just like curate some of the more thoughtful LA ape holders, just so we can kind of get a pulse, and just we'll invite them to dinner. And we were embraced instantaneously. And again, to be honest with you, we thought it was 50-50 that we might fully just get rejected and canceled before we even begin. So yeah,
why did you think that? Why did you think that you guys were about to be canceled? Like, what was the thought process in your head? Like, once you came out and like, hey,
that yeah, I mean, super easy. The current, and we talked about it earlier, the current and the thing that's holding back Web3 is like is either flippers, or I would also say this is the monoculture of community. And so I'm an ape, I'm a doodle, I'm a cool cat, whatever was buzzing at the time, or now D Gods is one of the hotter projects right now. Like D Gods love to throw shade at ape because ape is an easy target because of their success. And ultimately that is not what it's about. It's about we're all apes together. Like ape is a generalized word, right? And so we just felt that by not having, and we've had other communities that we've wanted to put on the can, and because we don't yet own one of their, we because we'd rather partner with one of the community holders and highlight them on the can rather than put our own like Web3 IP on the can that we purchase, just
the tribalism of it all. It's like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
And just because we don't possess an ape, therefore we're not ape. And it's just a very juvenile way of looking at it. It's just pure tribalism. And it just requires more education because nobody has ever used IP in this way before, to our knowledge, in Web3. Everyone will purchase their own NFT of a community, and then they'll commoditize that, where we want to just elevate the culture at large. And we felt it was really important to make sure that we don't have a bias and that we're not just, you know, exploiting our own NFT, but rather elevating and lifting the entire community at large. And there was a degree of trust in that that would work. And you'll be, it's surprising how some people reject us outright just for the simple fact that I don't own an ape.
No, I think that is
but I think that's where I think the genius of actually inviting apes onto the cap table plays out, right? Like you now have like 30 plus apes on the cap table that are OGs, like we're from the space, we've been here this entire time.
Correct.
That's where I would push back. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So we're four apes by apes was important as our next step, which is what happened. Started at that night at that dinner. And again, just to quickly add on to that, it was a way for apes to invest in us in a United States incorporated corporation, get real shares as a non-credited investor. We figured out this financial instrument through AngelList to create a special purpose vehicle that allowed NFT enthusiasts to actually invest in something tangible. And so it just really was a great way, because we view this as like how Gatorade, you didn't know the story about Gatorade, represents excellence in sports. God willing, 40, 50 years from now, we just represent excellence in Web3. And so with that's our vision. That's where we want to be. And so we felt it was really important in terms of our Genesis story to really cultivate that pro community pillars, which was in the form of Four Apes by Apes with doing the carve out.
Oh man, that's fucking badass, man. I think that it was genius for you guys to include other PFPs, because I feel like, you know, just kind of like the whole tribalism thing. I absolutely hate that shit so much, dude. I think anybody into NFTs is on my side. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. Obviously not everybody, but you know, if you're into NFTs and Web3, man, I see it as the same. You know what I mean? I don't care.
100% agree. And we make up, when I say we, people of that mind share, unfortunately, present day makes up the minority of the community.
I don't understand. Why be like that? You know what I mean?
Well, when you have scenarios such as, you know, as we talk today on June 1st, I don't know what Pepe is trading at, the meme coin. But it's very addicting when you could put $50 on something and make $5,000.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's a high. And so I think that people got intoxicated by the financial mechanism of the space, and it kind of sucked all the air out of the room temporarily. And, you know, when it's all said and done, like, life isn't fun without community. Like, when I was DJing and I would be in a city XYZ, and I'm DJing from 2,500 people, and I don't know one person in that crowd, and I go back to my hotel room by myself, right? Like, that shit's lonely. Like, that's not community. And it doesn't matter how much success, it doesn't matter how well paid I was that night, it doesn't matter that everyone is celebrating me. Like, I didn't have community. It was one of the reasons I started to phase out of it, because, you know, that's what we are. We're tribal people.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, I do love the people who are in the space still, because they really value really what, I guess, the human or / ape experience is supposed to be, which is, you know, collaboratively working with one another to make a better future. Isn't that it at the end of the day? Isn't there a quote that the man who plants a tree today, not knowing that he'll never sit under the shade, I'm butchering the quote, has begun to understand the meaning of life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's about planting the tree for 20 years from now for others to sit under the shade. That's what life's about. And, I feel like everyone who is of the right mindset in Web3 that this community we're alluding to, they all have that as a moral compass woven into their consciousness.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. It's it's just a little. Like I told you guys before, I never experienced this kind of stuff before, so it, it was discouraging when I started seeing this stuff pop up. You know what I mean? The ETH addresses, the meme coins. It's just, you know, from people that I didn't expect it from. You know what I mean? People that I looked up to, people that I was like, you know, this guy's a genuine ass person. You know, I'm going to follow him till fucking hell and out, you know? And, you know, it was just discouraging seeing some of my favorite people do those things. But yeah, you're about to say something, Gene?
Nope.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome.
So yeah, you know, it's just so funny. Have you, by the way, have you been to any of our Ape Water parties?
No, I haven't, dude. I'm the only reason why I haven't been going out much is because I just put in my resignation at work so I can do Web3 full time and stuff like that.
Let's go.
Yeah, man. I thank you guys. I appreciate that. It's a scary jump, but the regret in my heart seems scarier. But I had to. Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. My fucking heart was just telling me to do this. I'm training the new guy, transitioning this new person. Hopefully it works out. Cause these, you know, my people at work, you know, they treat me right. They did good by me. So I want to leave professionally and hopefully in the right manner. Once I'm done with all that, man, I'm going to be everywhere, man. I'm going to try to do so much events, man. I would love to come to your guys' events, man, if you guys would have me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's part of like what we're really trying to do with our community is really throw a lot of IRL events and bring the community together. I mean, you know, and celebrate water, celebrate life. Oh, yeah. It's a pretty easy premise, right?
Oh, yeah. Going back to Ape Water, man, I got to say, because again, thank you guys for sending me one. It was so good. It was so refreshing, man. As soon as I got mine, it was like a... Me personally, it was like a smile on my face because, you know, I know Web3, I know Bored Apes and stuff like that. So when I saw Bored Ape on a water can, I was fucking stoked. I got to ask you guys, where do you guys get that good ass water from? Where do you guys, where's your source? Who's your plug?
That's a great question. We get it from a source called Mount Shasta, which is in the northern top of California. The water takes about approximately 60 years to go from the top of the glacier through a crystallized cave where it naturally alkalines. It becomes perfect, like Goldilocks zone pH and mineral profile. And then we literally save the water before it goes in the Sacramento River where it gets compromised. So it's one best tasting water in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I'm thinking about this from a 50, 7500 year outlook. And so we wanted to make sure that if we're going to stamp something with the word ape and put, you know, a Bored Ape, which is the gold standard of the entire Web3 community, and put in sustainable packaging, all our packaging, by the way, is domestic supply chains. We wanted to make sure that we source the best water possible in America that we could find.
Damn. No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I knew it had to come from somewhere special because that wasn't just like your Dasani. You know what I mean? That was some refreshing ass water. Like I could not, like, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I opened it, I was like, you know, it's just gonna be water. You know what I mean? Like, it's water. I took one gulp and I was like, you know, I looked, you know, I was like, what the
hell?
That's really good. And I drank the whole thing right after. I couldn't
I love that. Yeah, great water. You know, because people say, oh, it's just water. And a lot of our investors are like, oh, just do tap water. It's like, we have a much deeper mission statement, right? And when you drink really good water for the first time, it's an experience. It's not a taste. It feels silkier. It feels lighter. It has a different way. It hits the mouth. And your body says, fuck yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You want to
drink more.
Exactly.
Like, and it's subtle. It's a subtle thing that says that your mind says, fuck yeah. And you don't know why it is, but it's just because the water is perfectly pH with your body. And your body just wants it. Just, yes, please, give me more, give me more.
That was my experience.
So you're having a visceral response. Yeah, you're having, and so we're so stoked. And, you know, by choosing the right source, and it's a real bitch. Like, we go through so much additional work and logistics and to source this water. But that's also what's given us the grace where we've continued to, you know, find ourselves in scenarios that would just best described as serendipitous, because the water truly is a special source. And I do feel like by choosing the right water source, we are kind of like cosmically protected without getting too woo-woo on it, because we are truly doing something good. We're not just trying to shill marketing and branding. We're actually trying to provide the best water on earth to the people at a reasonable price.
Yeah, no, I absolutely, what you explain is what happened to me. As you guys know, I opened it, took one drink, And I was like, wow. You know what I mean? What you said, you know, my body was just like, I need this. So like I said, I drank the whole entire thing after the second gulp. I still have the can. It's in my closet. I saved stuff.
I love that you saved it.
Oh yeah, I had.
Yeah,
it was my first one. I had to, you know.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and I love that too, because really our target demo, what we're finding more and more is the younger generation, like 8 to 14.
Yeah.
And what we learned with them is, they love Prime and they save Prime with the Logan Paul energy drink. And so there's something to be said about bringing intentionality to water, where kids now potentially will save the water too and collect the water. And now you're shifting the consciousness, like half a degree, fraction of a degree, who cares? And all of a sudden, by just shifting the way the youth views water and their relationship with water and understand water is precious, the impact on that, you can't even measure. And so like, we feel really excited and enthusiastic for the collectability of the water. So that's why the water is always going to change as well, the silhouette with different IP on it, to make the water somewhat collectible by having different editions that come out.
Oh, that's so badass, man. Because now that, like, you know, it gave me a little, I love collecting, obviously, but it gave me a little endorphin right there. Because, dude, I want to collect them all. It makes me want to collect them all. I don't care whose PFP is on there. It's just because it's different. You know what I mean? From the original can. Yeah, dude, I think that's genius. Like I said, again, man, having other PFPs from different communities, I think was a genius move. It just leaves you guys for so much room to do so much more with so many people. You know what I mean? But yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like the 10KTF model, where you're sort of like NFT agnostic at that point, right? Because I think you have to recognize, and obviously what they recognize too, is that this is still a pretty small space. So if you wanted to just limit it to only a certain group of people, it wouldn't be as successful, right? But now you can activate multiple communities and bring everyone in. And you know, even then it's still small, but like it's more important to I think be inclusive and sort of agnostic, like what Andrew was mentioning earlier.
Great. Like I said, I thought that was so super cool. I just love seeing my friends on the cans and stuff, man, and other community members too. So I was checking out your Twitter profile, your timeline not too long ago, and dude, I absolutely love seeing you guys at Web3 and NFT events, and also you guys sending them out to people on Twitter. I love seeing their reactions, their photos. It's such a good branding strategy. Why is it important for you guys to distribute 8Water like this? Is this like a branding move, or what's the goal with doing events and sending them out to people like that?
Yeah, we just want to be the water of the entire cultures, period, end of story. When you think Web3, you want to have a beverage. You want to have a beverage you identify with.
Yeah.
And so that would mean IRL events. It would mean Twitter. It would mean, you know, just guerrilla style marketing.
Yeah.
And putting the brand in hand. The can and the experience of the can does all the marketing. I don't need to do any storytelling. I can just hand someone the can, say nothing, and they'll get it.
Facts.
And so it's just really leading with that and letting the product do all the, you know, show, don't tell. So let the product do all the showing for us.
Oh, yeah.
And actually it's been great because it's created a lot of like inbound interest, right? We get calls from people all the time saying, hey, I'm throwing an event. Can we get some water here? Can we get some water there? And people wanted to work with us and collab. Like I think our problem now is we don't have enough time to focus on all that stuff. Cause yeah, it's a good problem to have because we're also focused on, like, you know, expanding distribution, because, you know, we're not just an NFT project. It's a full on business, right?
And with that being said, just quickly, the community stuff, the community is buying our water at cost, right? We're so real community events. We're partnering with them. We're not sponsoring it because that allows us to, you know, support each other. So it's been really great to not just have people hit us up, but actually purchase our water, because all events need water, right? And with that being said, in terms of expansion, to my knowledge, I think we're the first Web3 related CPG product at 7-Eleven. We're doing a rollout across California, the Southeast, which will include Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, New York, expansion to international markets, starting with Southeast Asia. So, you know, we view ourselves as, you know, having this kind of global worldview with how we want to expand, but we act local with Web3 while thinking global with our deployment strategy as a CPG brand.
So I wanted to say this real quick. I think that this is, you know, I'm trying to think, you know what I mean? But I can't think of any. I legit think this is like the first real business, including NFTs. You know what I mean? I can't think of any. You know what I mean? I haven't done like
100. Yeah, I would say everything else, to be quite honest with you, it's been just kind of novelty. Like,
yeah,
people are doing, I've seen people do cannabis. I've seen people do alcohol. I've seen people do sugar. Well, cool, right? Those are, let's just call them indulgences, yeah, right? Like, you need water every day. Like, yeah, it's something that is a basic, like, utility of life. We've seen toys, a lot of toys in the space, or clothing. You know, these are all kind of ancillary things. And I'm sure people are going to be developing some universes that will one day rival some of the Disney IP and things of that nature. But in terms of physical goods product, I think that we have like the quintessential utility play. And that was also intentional why we chose water, because the idea is it's not just about Ape Water and Ape Water success. But when there is a community Web3 event and Ape Water is there, and some holder in the community or someone thinking about getting in the community is there and drinks Ape Water and gets inspired to go and do their own thing, then we know that we're doing our mission. Ape Water is merely a springboard to inspire people to come up with their own use cases for Web3 IP.
Damn, I love that, man. I love the inspiration. I love that the main focus is Ape Beverage, but it's also not. You know what I mean? You're trying to push not only Web3 further, but the world further. I absolutely fucking love that, man. So I know you guys have an NFT, but I know it's just not any other NFT, whatever, whatever. There's perks and there's different tiers. Would love to get into that. What are some of these perks for holding your guys' NFT? And tell me all about the different tiers that comes with it.
Cool. I'll lead with the Mac Daddy winner, like tier four. We have four tiers. And tier four, and no one's pulled a tier four yet, is the ability to put your own PFP of your choice on a gold can of Ape Water, which will get a licensing deal and get distributed to our entire community. So, you know, the cash prize, in addition to the flex, is quite sexy. Oh, and yeah. So our thought process is, let's just say there's an up-and-coming community that really has a robust culture, which we've talked about, which is the stuff that we celebrate, and they want to create greater recognition for their community. What better way than getting highlighted on a can of Ape Water distributed and now being, you know, eye level with BAYC? And so there's a gamification component where communities or individuals can speculate about getting their project on our can. So that's like one of the core tenets. And then there's a bunch of other benefits as well, you know, that such as access to our merch store, because we're a water lifestyle brand. So we have drops of clothing that we do. We do events. We have alpha chats, and those are some of our core pillars. Plus you get access to our water, our limited edition water. So we'll do different water drops with different, IP, and I can't really say what IP will be on it, but there'll be the limited edition cans will exclusively happen through our water club.
Nice, man. I love that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's tier three. There's 69, a D-Gen number available. That's nice. And that gets commemorative cans made. I think you get four cases, Gene. I'm not sure how many cases.
Yeah, four cases, 48 cans.
Yeah, 48 cans with your PFP on it. So there's a total of 72 opportunities to get your PFP on it on Ape Water. And then there's tier two and tier one. And tier two is just deeper discounts on merch and things of that nature. But still, every single tier comes with six cases of Ape Water, which is a $200 value that for now we can only do fulfillment in the United States. So you can either choose to burn in your address and receive those six cases, or hold that water contract to your NFT. And therefore that maintains basically a 0.1 ETH floor of the purchase price. So you always can basically have your water have your NFT backed by water as the security against the floor price. So it's truly a very, very unique proposition. I still feel like that messaging hasn't quite fully landed like wide yet to understand that. But we really want to reimagine what an NFT could be and how to really maximize the value and create a true community. So these were some of the best solutions we can come up with. And Gene, I don't know if there's anything else.
I think you covered it all. But I think the main point was that we wanted to lead with utility, right? And the utility being the water. And like Andrew said, every pass, no matter what tier, comes with 6 cases of water. And you know, we did it that way because we didn't want to launch like a typical like NFT project where, you know, people are getting wrecked, they're like max minting and then flooring it after they don't get rares and all, and like having to manage floor price and that whole drama. Like we wanted to make it as unfuddable as possible, right? With actually, like Andrew said, backing the value with the water. So it's like what you're paying is what you're is what you're getting, like, or you're getting water in terms of what you're paying. So that's the basic promise that you can't really argue against, right? And then everything else, all the utilities, access to events, the merch, the discounts, and then the PFPs and licensing contracts, that's all just extra that we're providing, because this is also at the end of the day a very Web3 forward brand, right? And that's the language that Web3 speaks. And so that's why it's sort of structured that way.
And we offered it exclusively in Ethereum and ApeCoin to launch. So yeah, we don't accept the offer.
That was so fuck. I saw that, man. That was so badass. I was like, oh shit. They take the ape coin there, you know, obviously, but still, I thought that was super cool, man. But hey, go ahead. You're about to say something?
No, no. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we just really want to make sure that the foundational story was that we led with Web3.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was really imperative that we launched with Ethereum and ApeCoin as our means of transaction.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say that you can still buy your water subscription if you go to drinkthefuture.xyz. It's 0.1 ETH, or I believe it's like 52 ApeCoin. And I don't know if that's been updated, but if the price of Ape has dropped since then, you're technically getting it for cheaper if you buy now. But yeah, drinkthefuture.xyz.
What an awful right there, guys. But yeah, man, you know, something about the product, man. You know, I love that you guys started this project, because you know how most projects, they need the funds to accomplish their minimal goals, at least, you know, clothing or whatever it is. You guys came straight out with it. You know, I love that. I think people should actually know more about that, because you know, you guys are coming out with an NFT that's already product ready for you guys to execute. And I just thought that was super cool, and I think that's super I think that was worth noting, you know what I mean, because there's a lot out there just, hey, give me money, I'll do this for you.
Yeah, I think that's this a particular strength of Ape Beverage, is in terms of like it wasn't an NFT project. We're not looking for the mint funds to start the business. The business has already been started. It's funded. We've got, yeah, you know, investors, a board, and all that stuff, right? And yeah, so
we're the only project that I can think of, especially in the Yuga system, I think it's certainly beyond, that we've raised 7 figures in the private sector. Dang. as an independent business to propagate, you know, this. So I mean, we are the opposite of, we're the antithesis of pretty much almost every other NFT project that has kind of given the space a bad aroma, you know? So we made sure to benchmark against anything that we've seen before, which could be viewed as distasteful.
1,000%.
Yeah, and I'll just say that there's definitely projects out there that have raised money, but it's less about comparing ourselves to those. It's there's a lot of projects out there that we all know that have, you know, launched and rugged and done that whole thing. And I think that's what we're sort of referring to.
Yeah. No, that was, yep. Go ahead.
No, I was just,
Yeah, no, I completely agree, man. It gives an, you know, that, and I think that's where it comes from too, where, you know, you guys are putting out so much and it's not bullshit. You know what I mean? It's, but people, look at it and you're like, ah, you know, maybe, you know, but people, I guess people just don't understand that this is actual, a real business, you know, that they just did a little bit of digging. But like you guys said earlier, you know, I don't think that the message has been, you know, laid out yet perfectly, but I think that you guys will get there, man. I mean, you know, the, how do you say, the cream rises to the top kind of deal? You know what I mean? There's a lot of bullshit going on right now, and eventually, you know, people, like we said before, man, people are just waiting on the sidelines to get into, jump into something that they believe in. But
yeah, it will happen. And I'm almost, in a way, I think it adds to our folklore that we didn't mint out immediately. And it's been a slow start on that side of the business. And because it means anyone can get in. It wasn't one of these things where you had to get on the allow list and it was exclusionary. Like, anyone who wants to be part of the water club can be part of the water club today. There's plenty of room. You know, and if you're one of the lucky ones, you can even put your PFP on our camp. I mean, I don't know what other value we could lead with, and have the water show up at your doorstep from Mount Shasta. So,
it will.
I look forward to when we escape velocity with the Web3 crowd.
Yeah.
In terms of our community project.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I really want to this next one right here, man. I really want to talk about the IP usage. So I know a lot of people want to know what the ins and out is. A lot of people in our space don't even know how to go about it. You know what I mean? Using your IP on products and sell them. So how does that work? Start from like how you guys select PFPs, what goes on the can, and all the way down to like, you know, whether there's profit sharing. So you know what I mean? How does that all work for somebody that's has their IP on your can?
Yeah, well, every deal is different with different companies. So I'm not saying what we do is necessarily the only way to do it. There's many ways that go do a licensing agreement. For us, we give a royalty on gross sales. And so we look at aesthetically what IP will look best on our can. So for example, right now we're not doing any apes that have an orange background, just because that would imply like an orange flavor.
Mm.
So there's some colorways that just aren't complementary to water today. Doesn't mean, but again, keep in mind, we're ape beverages company. And so it doesn't mean that we won't use the orange for a different product in the future.
There you go.
So once it gets past the aesthetic, the eye test, then we look at, does the person who holds the PFP the positive virtues of Web3? So we first look at thought leaders to showcase on our can, and we've been focusing on Web3 thought leaders initially, but that will expand into wider audiences as well. And then we've also done games and contests as well too. So there's many ways you can get on our can. And again, that's in the form of getting a licensing percentage off of the gross for everything sold.
Damn, no, that's awesome, man. Like I said, this is the I can't think of anything else that any other project or business that's doing things that you guys are doing with the Web3 IPs, Bored Apes, Doodle, you know, all that kind of stuff, man. It's a first, and I'm very excited for you guys, man. It's actually a very great, refreshing, no pun intended, refreshing thing to see. You know what I mean? I absolutely love it. last question about Ape Water, guys, and I'll let you guys go. I know you guys are probably hella busy. What's the future look like? What are you guys looking forward to releasing or doing that people should be excited about, or something you really want to mention?
Gene, you want to go first?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm allowed to share. I think we've already shared this stuff publicly, but I think the stuff that excites me the most is the retail distribution, like, build out, because I think once we can get that to a really good place, that'll give us sort of more flexibility to do fun things on the Web2 side, or what, the Web3 side of things, and sort of as we open up new accounts and new doors and expand the distribution footprint. I feel like every time we make one of those announcements, like, oh, we've opened up 7-Eleven, like, it's always a vibe. Like, the community, like, loves seeing NFT IP in these, like, traditional, like, Web2 retail spaces. And I feel like that it provides energy to the Web3 side, and that'll hopefully provide energy back to the Web2 side, and just kind of like, you know, positive cycle from there. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, there's so many things I'm excited about. I'm excited about Ape Water being the ultimate on-ramping vessel to Web3, where we can grow the entire amount of wallets that hold NFTs by a multiple of what currently exists in the marketplace is the long tail. And how we get there is through other IP on the can. So I look forward to other collaborations. I don't want to say what they are just yet, but imagine what the most fun collaborations possibly would look like. And those are the ones we are playing with. And so I think as people start to identify Ape Beverages and Ape Water as being a billboard for Web3 at large, that includes Yuga and other projects too, and when that really clicks and our people really understand that we're truly agnostic, that's the moment I'm going to really feel like, ah, you know, Web3 community as in its totality really understands our mission statement here. And so that moment and that inflection point is what I'm most excited about.
I'm excited for you guys, man. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you guys both so much for jumping on the podcast. I had a great time hosting you guys and showing what you guys are doing in the space. It's fucking so awesome, man. One last thing for anyone out there that wants to learn more about you guys and Ape Water Beverages, Ape Water, anything, where can they go to find out more?
Yeah. So our socials are at Ape Beverages on Twitter, at Ape Beverages on Instagram. And then also Drink the Future at XYZ. You can mint our water club and get water directly to your door. So those are the best ways.
Awesome. Or the cool way I discovered last night actually was there's a QR code on every can. If you scan it, it takes you to our link tree. And so it has all that stuff in there.
Damn, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Scan the can.
Scan the can. There yeah. You go. That's awesome. All right. Well, hey, I'm so excited for you guys' future. Again, thank you guys for hopping on. I hope you guys have a great rest of your night.
Yeah, appreciate
Thank
it.
You
Thanks
so much
for having us.
Of course,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thanks.